Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Fred Maroon, great to have you with me again here on Chai FM.
Hi, Simon. Thank you for inviting me again. It's always a pleasure.
I was thinking that you are possibly my very favorite Canadian, but then I thought I don't really know any other Canadian, so that doesn't really count. I'm going to withdraw that.
Okay.
Fred, I read this article with great interest. You come across extremists and maximalists on both sides. I think about those on the Jewish side who talk about the fact that there is no Palestinian nation and what are you talking about? Not a helpful argument at all. Doesn't help us deal with reality. You dealt with the other side of the coin, the Palestinians' maximalist views. I'd love you to take me through the contents of your article and in which ways do those views express themselves?
Well, as you said, there are maximalists on both sides. The big difference, however, is that on the Jewish side, there has typically been pragmatic decisions made based on reality. For example, when the UN partition plan was provided by the UN in 1947. Neither side liked it. The Jewish people didn't like it because they thought the land they were given wasn't great. It was mostly desert. It was disconnected. There were two different pieces separate. But they thought, well, you know, that's probably the best shot we're going to get at having a state. So we're going to agree to it. And they agreed to it. The Palestinians, on the other hand, said no. And they have said no a number of times since then, because contrary to the Jews, the extremists on the Palestinian side have always seemed to have the upper hand. And so they have made their decisions based on wrong information and which has not benefited them. So in their assumption, their narrative is that the Israelis, the Jewish Israelis are colonialists who came from Europe. They invaded land here. They took away the land for the Palestinians. And if we fight them hard enough, they will eventually give up and leave. You know, like has happened with other groups in the past, the Turks, the British, etc. However, it is a wrong narrative because that's just not reality. The Jews didn't come from Europe. They came from the Middle East originally. And a lot of them actually never left. And they were forcibly removed from the Middle East. So they're coming back, fighting back against the colonialism of which they were victims. So they were kicked out by various groups that had invaded the area over the centuries. So they have successfully fought back and rebuilt their country. They're not going anywhere. So as long as the Palestinians don't recognize that reality, as long as they don't think, well, you know, we have to accept that this is a reality. We're not going to have all of Palestine to ourselves. We have to come up with some kind of reasonable agreement until they decide that. They will not have a state.
Fred, I find myself reading articles now and again on the other side because I try to obtain an understanding of what the other side has to say. And occasionally I find myself reading articles where they are disputing the fact that Jews are actually Jews. We're supposed to be all Khazaris with no connection to Israel whatsoever. They talk about the fact that Jews were never in Jerusalem ever. They seem to be forced by their narrative to be taking the most ludicrous and intellectually crazy unjustifiable positions.
Exactly. And one example I give in the article is that there are Jews who want to pray on Temple Mount. Not all Jews want to do that. In fact, Orthodox Jews say that that should not happen until it is back to being a temple. And since it's not currently a temple, Jews should not pray there. But some Jews do it anyway, which, I mean, I don't care either way personally. But what I found really strange and really bizarre is that Palestinians or Arabs in general get very upset when Jews pray on Temple Mounts, even silently, quietly in their own on their corner. They get very upset, and I mean the only explanation I can find for that is that because it defies their narrative, which is that Jews have never had a temple there. Jews don't have a history in Jerusalem. It's all fake news, etc. Which, of course, I mean, any serious historical analysis of this shows that Jews have a long history in that area. Jerusalem is named after Judaism. That's why it's called Jerusalem. It's not called Islamabad or whatever.
So, putting it, yeah.
You know,
no, 100%. I hear you. I just wonder how one breaks through this mindset, because until that happens, the future is pretty bleak. And I don't know how one changes narratives.
I'm not very optimistic on that. I don't see it happening anytime soon.
I think you need to apply your mind to that one, Fred. And I'll look out for the next blog in the Times of Israel, because we need to somehow give them the tools to sort this out in a sane and fair way.
The only way I see the resolution happening to the benefit of the Palestinians is if the decision is really taken out of their hands. If somehow, you know, Jordan, Egypt, other Arab countries decide to make an agreement with Israel and they come up with some kind of solution. I don't know what it would be, but.
Yeah, that's not that unrealistic, Fred. I mean, if you look at the fact that the Abraham Accords were signed, the Palestinians have been bypassed. It is highly possible that they might find themselves with no option but to make peace at some point.
Yeah, I mean, what's keeping it going right now is that Iran is controlled by extremists who are providing support and finance to Hamas and Hezbollah. If that regime was to fall, it would be very difficult for the extremists like Hamas to keep going.
Fascinating insights. Fred Marin, as always, thank you so much for your input this afternoon.
Thank you very much.